You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Last week, we started a new series called Sent. And what this series is all about is getting a hold of God's purpose for our lives and living with a sense of mission and living with the sense that we're sent, that God is sending us out into the world to do his work, to be his church, to be his hands and his feet, to be his presence in this world. And let me ask you this question for a moment this morning. When you think about the church, what comes to mind? When I say the word church, what do you think about? Everybody has a different association, different picture pops in your mind. Some of you, when you think about church, you think about your church family. Like you get here and you're just so excited to see your brothers and sisters in Christ, your family and friends, and you hug people and you high five. Like church for you is a family. For some of you, when you think about church, like the first word that pops in your head is maybe a building. You think about driving past a beautiful church building. That's okay. That's a natural association. Although in Redemption, we kind of have a little bit of a different take on that. Come on. We have the best building in town, best seats in town. We're the only church where you can catch a matinee after church on a Sunday morning. Can I get an amen, somebody? Some of you, when you think about church, you think about a temple, a sacred space, a sacred place where you go to meet with the presence of God. Some of you, when you think about church, you think about the organization. You know, the church is a nonprofit organization, and we have boards and budgets, and we operate like other civic organizations. Those are all like, you know, good, fair associations. But some people, when they think about the church, they think about the church as a country club. Now, hold that thought for just a moment. And some of us do it without even realizing it. Now, in Westchester County, we are famous for our country clubs. Hello, we've got one like every 5 minutes. They're all over the place, right? I mean, they're all over the place. There's a picture of the famous Westchester Country Club here in Westchester on the screen there. And, of course, country clubs are exclusive by nature. Right? They're for those who can afford a membership. It's all about, you know, what you have and sometimes who you know. Sometimes you have to know the right people to even be able to get into a country club. And of course, country clubs provide amazing benefits for their members. Of course, there's the golf and there's tennis and, you know, swimming pools and the gourmet meals at the clubhouse. I mean, there's some pretty nice benefits for the members. In fact, Amy and I, when we were just starting out in marriage, when we were young, fresh out of college and broke, we actually had a membership to a country club. I know some of you are like, how the heck did that happen? Well, let me tell you. One of Amy's first jobs was she was a real estate agent. And Amy went to work for a broker who was very generous and just happened to be, her family, happened to be part owners of one of the nicest country clubs in the area where we lived, down in Louisiana at the time. And so as a perk to all of her real estate agents, she gave all of her agents a membership to the country club. How many of you know that's a pretty nice perk? Pretty nice perk. Like, you had to sell some houses to keep it up, but, like, that was a perk she got. So we had a membership to the country club. Here we were. We were, like, fresh out of college. Like, we're broke as a joke, and we're playing golf with, like, doctors and lawyers. It was awesome. Now, I am a terrible golfer. I'm just going to admit it straight up, okay? Golf causes me to say words that a pastor shouldn't say, okay? Just keeping it real this morning. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? All right, if you're struggling with pride, I have a solution for you. Just take up golf. It is the most humiliating sport in the world. Those of you who have played sport, who have played golf, you know what I'm talking about. It will give you a dose of humiliation. It will humble you. And so I'm a terrible golfer, and I had the worst clubs. I mean, seriously. I had some, like, funky garage sale-looking clubs, like rickety-looking things, okay? Like, my woods were, like, actual wood, like, from, like, the early 1900s. Like, it was bad. But I didn't care. I had a membership to the country club, and we enjoyed the pool and tennis. Like, it was nice. And I was thinking, I could kind of get used to this lifestyle. I mean, this is cool. And then right about the time I got used to it, Amy actually switched jobs and we lost the membership. And I learned quickly that country clubs exist. The benefits of the country club are for the members, right? They exist for the members. So you cease to have a membership, you cease to have the benefits. Here's the idea. Some people, when they think about the church, without realizing it, they think about the church like they would a country club. In fact, some churches are kind of exclusive like country clubs. Some churches, like, unless you belong to that denomination, maybe you don't quite fit in. And then we know there are some churches that are kind of divided along ethnic lines. There are white churches and black churches and Hispanic churches. And sadly, sometimes when new people come in certain churches, they don't really feel like they fit in because they don't know all of the lingo and the etiquette of the country club. I mean, the church. You know, it takes a little while to kind of figure it out. Sometimes churches can be that way. And some people have the mindset that the church exists for the members, kind of like a country club exists to give benefit to the members. And they have big time demands, like, you know, the music better be really good, you know, and the message better be on point, and the children's ministry better be perfect for my kids, and they better have the coffee at just quite the temperature that I like it. And those donuts they put out last week, yeah, they better put those back out this week, or I'm not coming back. I'm not giving any money to this church. Because somebody said something to my kid and I didn't like it. Come on, people kind of get these. Yeah, you can lighten up a little bit. It's serve day. We're having fun. People sometimes kind of have this. In fact, sometimes people complain about church, like members of the country club who pay their dues. And so if we're not careful, we can begin to develop this mindset that the church exists just for me and exists just for the members. Now, it's you know, let me just tell you the truth. It's okay to expect some things from the church. Like, we're here to serve you. We're here to love on you. Like, there's some things that we should expect, you know, when we belong to a church family. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus kind of flips things around. Jesus said, like, I came and I came to serve. Like, my church is about serving the world. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus says this. Look at the scripture. He says, the Son of Man, this is a title that he used to refer to himself. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said that I came to give my life away. That's what he did, right, when he went to the cross. He said, like, he gave us the ultimate service in giving his life away for the salvation of the world. He said, I didn't come to be served. Think about it. If there was anybody who could expect to be served, the Son of God could expect that, right? If there was anybody who could expect special treatment, it was Jesus. But Jesus didn't use that privilege to his own advantage. He took his privilege. He took his position. He took his power, and he used it to serve. So what did he do? He served the poor, and he served sinners, and he served the outcasts. And he actually, at one point in time, washed his disciples' feet. If you remember the story, if you know it, at the Last Supper, he got down and he said, I'm going to show you what my kingdom is all about. And he got down and he washed his disciples' feet. He said, I'm giving you a kingdom, and at the basis of it is serving others. And then before Jesus left to ascend back to heaven, after his crucifixion, after the resurrection, before he ascended back to the Father, he said this to his disciples. Look at this, John chapter 20, verse 21. This is the foundational verse for this whole series. He said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So he took his mission and he conferred it on his disciples. As the Father sent me to serve, I'm sending you out into this world to serve. And that's the mission that all of us have as followers of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus did not come to start a country club? Jesus came to start the greatest service organization the world has ever seen. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, and we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. Come on. We exist for the world. This is who we're called to be. This is what we're called to do. The benefits aren't all just for the members. Jesus came to create something that would bless the world. You are blessed to be a blessing. You have a greater purpose. The church isn't just about me. It's about we. It's about what God's calling us to do to get out into the world. So we're called to serve the lost and the hurting and the poor and the broken. Like, that's who we're called to be. We are sent to serve. Come on, turn to somebody this morning and say, we are sent to serve. Preach to him this morning. Encourage him. Get him excited. You're sent to serve. You are sent to serve. I want to give you three quick ideas this morning. Three quick ideas to write down, and then we're going to be dismissed in just a few minutes to go out and serve. And you can take some notes and remember this. These are some things that I want you to keep in mind as we leave to go serve today. Number one, serving is not about us. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about him, right? It's about God. It's about glorifying Jesus. We don't serve people to feel good about ourselves, although it does feel good to serve. We don't do it just to feel good in ourselves, to get a pat on our back. No, we serve to point people to God. We serve people to bring glory to God. Serving is not about us. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. doesn't say, let your light shine and do good works so that people may see you and say, look at how wonderful he is. Isn't he amazing? What a servant's heart he has. Just give him a pat on the back. No, so they'll see your good deeds and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. So today, when you're out serving, if somebody frustrates you, if somebody's not thankful to you, remember, we don't do it. It's not about us. It's about him, right? We're doing this as unto the Lord. So serving is not about us. Number two, serving is an act of worship. Everybody say worship. Serving is an act of worship. See, worship is really a response. When you begin to understand this, worship is not just an activity, something we do. We go to church, we sing songs, we pray. Worship is really about a response. We see that in Scripture. I think it's a biblical idea. It's a response to all that God has done for us. We respond by giving our lives back to him in worship. Now, many of you know that one of my favorite fast food restaurants is Chick-fil-A. Do we have any Chick-fil-A fans in the house? How many of you believe? Let's pray and believe for a Chick-fil-A to come to Westchester. Come on. How many of you will pray? You want to stop and pray right now? Okay, we won't do that right now, but let's pray for Chick-fil-A to come to Westchester. Somebody needs to open one. But you know what I love about Chick-fil-A, not just the food. In fact, I had some friends from church who blessed me with some Chick-fil-A just this week at my house. And here's the thing I love about Chick-fil-A. It's not just the food. It's the atmosphere. It's the staff, right? It's like it's the whole culture of Chick-fil-A. Like when you walk into Chick-fil-A, like people are just happy. They're smiling at you. Like, hi, welcome to Chick-fil-A, right? You're like, just a smile plastered on their face. And when you sit down, like they bring you your food promptly, but they'll come around and bring you little breath mints. They'll bring you refills when you need a refill. They'll come up and before you can get up to take your trash, they come and dump your trash, right? Pick up your trash. And what happens when you say thank you? They always respond with, my pleasure, right? Isn't it nice? Like you get a Burger King and McDonald's, they throw your food at you. Like they're mad at you for coming in. They hate you. Like, why'd you come in? It's one more Big Mac I have to make. Get out of my face, right? Not Chick-fil-A. Thank you. My pleasure. My pleasure. Listen to me. Serving is an act of worship. When we get a hold of all that God has done for us, how freely he poured out his grace over our lives, how faithful he's been to us, how he's healed our lives, how he's been so good to us. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to give back. We get to give back, right? We get to serve. See, serving and giving, this is not something we do out of obligation. We don't have to have this attitude, oh, I have to go to church. I have to serve. I have to give in the offering. I have to do what the pastor says, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to do anything. You get to serve. It's my pleasure. When you get a hold of all that God has done for you, you begin to get this attitude of, it's my pleasure to give back, to serve. It's an act of worship. It's an expression of worship. So today, when you're out serving, somebody says, thank you. Come on, let's just be like good Chick-fil-A employees and smile at somebody full of the love of Jesus and say, it's my pleasure. I might be sweating out here in the garden, putting down some mulch. I'm not even doing this at my own house, and I'm doing it over here in this garden. And these people aren't even thankful, and I got dirt under my nails, and I just got a new nail job, but it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Come on, we're going to mean it because it's an act of worship, and it's not about us. Are you with me this morning? Serving is an act of worship. Number three, serving is an expression of love. Serving is ultimately an expression of love. Self-sacrificial love is really the only thing that's ever changed the world, isn't it? See, Jesus came, Son of God, full of glory, divine, God in flesh and blood. And if there was anybody who could expect to be served, it was him. And what did he do? He gave his life away. He went to the hurting. He went to the people who are marginalized. He went to the people who are forgotten. And he served them. He touched people that nobody else would touch. He embraced people that no one else would embrace. He included people that everybody else left out. He got down on his hands and knees and he washed his disciples' feet. And he said, this is the essence of what my kingdom is all about. And then he served all of us. The greatest act of service that humanity has ever seen is when Jesus went to the cross and poured out his life for us. Jesus served us well. And it's changed our lives. Come on, it's self-sacrificial love is the only thing that's ever changed the world. So I want you to know this, not just for Serve Day today, because I want us to get this in our hearts because we're called to serve. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. We're called to take the very love that was extended to us by Jesus Christ and to offer it to other people. How many of you remember the great commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It all boils down to those two things, loving God with everything you have and loving human beings, not because they deserve it, because some days they don't, not because they're always nice to you, because some days they're not, not because you even always feel good doing it, but because we do it as unto the Lord And it's an expression of the love that was extended to you and to me. Can I tell you that the early disciples got a hold of this? Can I tell you that that's the reason they went out and turned the world upside down? Within a few generations, Christians had saturated the Roman Empire and flipped the whole thing upside down. And why is that? Because people saw their radical love, their radical heart to serve. And these pagans looked at them and said, I don't know what they have, but whatever they have, I want it. Come on, wouldn't it be an amazing thing if people, if they don't even quite understand what Christians believe, haven't been to church in years, maybe the idea of you know, following Christ is a foreign thing, but wouldn't it be amazing if nothing else, they looked at us and said, I don't know what those Christians believe, but there's something different about them. They're the most loving and caring and generous people on the planet. Wouldn't it be amazing if Christians had that reputation? Sadly, you go out on the street and you ask people, you know, what they think about the church. You're going to get all kinds of answers, some positive, but some negative. But wouldn't it be amazing if Christians became known for being the most loving, generous people on the planet? That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. That's what Serve Day is about. Listen, the truth is we need Serve Day. Yeah, we're going to bless our community, but we need this to remind us of who we're called to be. So I want to pray for you this morning as we leave to go out for Serve Day in just a moment. And I want to pray that something special would happen in our hearts today. Something special would happen in the life of our church today. Something special would happen for you, for your family. Maybe some of you parents are serving alongside your kids today. I want to pray for you this morning that Jesus would put his heart on the inside of us. That's our prayer today because he came as a servant. He gave his life away. His life was oriented towards serving others. We live in a culture that tells us it's all about us, but Jesus's life was oriented towards serving others. And it's his self-sacrificial love that changed the world. And so our prayer today is, Lord, put your heart on the inside of me. Come on, we want your heart to get inside of us. We got some kids in this room today. Come on, kids, we're going to say, Jesus, put your heart on the inside of us. Some of you parents, you might want to pray with your kids. Grab their hand and get a hold of them and say, Lord, come on, we want to teach our kids to serve at a young age. And it's not about us. It's not about how we can bless somebody else. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this Serve Day when we get to go out and be like you. Whatever happens today, Jesus, our heart's desire is to go out and express your love to our community. Lord, it's not about us. Serving is an act of worship. We get to give back today. It's our pleasure to give back because you've given so much to us. And we get to go out and love on somebody. Father, I pray that today that we come into contact with somebody who's in need of encouragement, somebody who's in need of prayer. Somebody who's in need of what we're going to do today, and that your love would just shine through us, that you would just use us today. Father, I bless every person in this congregation. Father, I'm praying that you put a servant's heart on the inside of us, not just today, but you make us those kind of people. You make us that kind of church, that we become others' focus, that we get a hold of the very spirit and the very love of Jesus Christ gets on the inside of us. We become those kind of Christians. We become that kind of church. Father, we pray that for our kids who are with us today. From a very young age, they'll begin to learn the joy of serving. Lord, we ask you to do it in us. Would you make that personal, Lord? Would you do it in me? Would you put your heart inside of me? We thank you for it. And we give you praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.